KPPPLP Fargo Moorhead, have you found your dream?
Let's find it together.
Welcome to Finding Me here on KPPPLP Fargo Moorhead, where we're adding local color to your airwaves. We're broadcasting at 88.1 FM, online at kpppfm.com, on Shoutcast, and now on Facebook Live. Tweet to us at @media_PPP, at Darcy Corbett, at Demo Potatoes, and use the hashtag Finding Me. You can also find us online at kpppfm.com/finding-me and on facebook.com at kpppfm, Darcy Corbett, and Nemo Potatoes. I'm Darcy Jada Corbett, and I'm joined in the studio by the feisty Nemo Taquitos. How are you, my friend?
Very good. How about you?
I've been better. A little salty, a little grumpy, but you know what? It's going to be fine.
Yeah, I mean, we can get through this together. It's only the beginning of the year. We can't let it take us down now.
We cannot let it take us down. And you know what? I am on a low-carb diet. We talked about this last week. I'm on a low-carb diet. You're on a low-carb diet. Well, I cheated tonight. I had a French fries and an apple pie. No regrets. Well, a little bit of regrets because now my tummy hurts. But it was great. I was sitting in the car like, just like shoveling them down my face. It was a glorious thing to behold. But anyway,
on to I've been cheating a few days myself when, like, you know, my sister's sympathetic because she's like, you're only eating cheese and meat and all these other boring things. I pity you. And like the other day, like, it was kind of a secret, but we shared some ice cream together. So it was like, cool. Just kind of,
you know. Won't tell anyone.
Yeah. And then it's just like, you know, and then we finished it and about the same time. It's just like, tell no one.
So I had this really sad realization the other night that my life has now become this thing where I'm working. I'm at the office from like 7 in the morning till 7 or 8 at night. And then I go to the gym and work out. Mm-hmm. And then I come home and take a shower. And the one thing that I look forward to every day is getting my 80-calorie dessert-flavored yogurt. Mm-hmm. It's so sad. It's so very sad. But you know what? I've lost a little weight already. The fat's hanging differently on my stomach, so it's kind of cool. I'll have a fat loincloth soon, so that's great. Mm-hmm. on tonight's show, we'll be talking not only about my diet, but we'll be talking about the civil rights movement in honor of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which is actually the day that we recorded this show. Mm-hmm. And tonight, we're going to be focusing especially on an unsung hero of the movement, Bayard Rustin, who was... he wrote a lot of MLK speeches. He helped organize a lot of the rallies. He was really... MLK's right-hand man, and he was openly gay, and because of that, he's been largely forgotten by history, because, of course, if someone is a person of color, we barely acknowledge what they did, but if they're mm-hmm. a gay person of color, then forget it. You're mm-hmm. probably not going to be remembered, so...
Yeah. It took me a while, because you mentioned, like, you know, we should talk about him, and I was just like, who? And then clicked as soon as you told me what he did, and I was like, oh!
Yeah, and I have to be honest, when I first was introduced to him, I was like, I don't know who that is. And then I did some research, and I was like, oh, I wish I did know who this is. This is an awesome person.
Right?
So, yeah, so that's what we're talking about tonight, and we also have an update.
North Dakota SB 2043 was defeated in the Senate last Wednesday, January 11th. This legislation would have been removed the references to husband and wife throughout the state statute and replace them with individuals to put a variety of laws in compliance with the Supreme Court's marriage ruling. Not making some of these changes could lead to an expensive lawsuit that our state can't afford and elected leaders should work to avoid. The following legislators voted for the bill were Armstrong, Beckedahl, Grabinger, Heckman, Holmesburg, Krebsbach, Jay Lee, Marcellize, I think, Mathern, I like him, Meyer, Nelson, Obon, Elk, I can't pronounce that correctly, sorry if I butchered it, Papecorn, and Pullman. So on behalf of the LGBTQ community of North Dakota, we thank you for voting for equality.
Here are the senators who voted against equality. Anderson, Dever, Dulcenrod, Herbally, Bowman, Burkhart, Campbell, Casper, Clemens, Cook, Hoag. I don't know how to say this. I don't know.
Let's see.
Kinnianen? I don't know. Kilzer, Klein, Kroon, Laffin, O. Larson, D. Larson, G. Lee, Lewick, Meyerdahl, Usland, Robinson, Roars, Rust, Scheibel, Sorvag, Unruh, Veda, Wenzeg, and Wardner. and Senator Davison abstained. On behalf of the LGBTQ plus community of North Dakota, we just have this to say to the North Dakota senators who voted against equality.
F you.
Yes, very, very much. Mm-hmm. So we're going to play that song. We can't play songs on Facebook Live or they won't let us save it. So
unless
we could do our own rendition. F you. F you very, very much.
Hey, I was all ready for it.
Let's not quit our day jobs.
Yeah, I mean, but otherwise, if you do want us to play any music, I would recommend that you share your favorite royalty-free music, copyright-free music, or independent artists that are unsigned so that we can give them exposure. Because we like to do non-mainstream stuff here.
We were very non-mainstream before it was cool.
Mm-hmm, but that was a very nice touch.
I know, I really enjoyed that. So, you know, it was... Well, when I was writing the show, I always like copy and paste the last document, and
so
I was writing this one, that was the song from last week, and I was like, oh, it's perfect. We gotta have that in there.
Of course.
And you know, tonight, Nemo, on Martin Luther King Jr. Day night, obviously we're not broadcasting on MLK Day, but we're recording on MLK Day. Mm-hmm. But I thought it would be a good time to talk about the civil rights movement. And the reason I thought it would be good, not just because of MLK Day, but because the inauguration, or as I like to say, the season premiere of the season finale of America, is on Friday. So Inauguration Day is on Friday. And so I thought it would be a good time to start talking about that because, you know, as you know, the president-elect of the United States is openly racist openly homophobic and openly everything, anti-everything. So I thought it'd be important that we talk about that because we need to be aware of it. We need to think about the implications of the movement, the implications of where we are now and where we're headed. So, you know, as a person of color, Nemo, I think you probably have more have a stake in this discussion, so I kind of like to let you start us off with what you think about the civil rights movement and where we are now.
Well, while the civil rights movement was like imperfect in some parts, like the thing is, you can't really have a very good movement if it excludes women, if it excludes the LGBT community. It has to be intersectional, and like a really good example is an article that I read briefly about how the women's march in Washington, D.C. or whatever, there was a bit of a disagreement about putting women of color at the forefront of this march for women. And because of this disagreement, the NAACP pulled out with their support. And it's like, I get that, because if your feminism isn't intersectional, then it isn't feminism. That's white feminism, and that's, you know, part of white supremacy, which is the whole point of, like, you know, fighting oppression. And which, you know, brings me back to, like, the imperfections of the Black Panthers and even Martin Luther King's movement. I adore both MLK and Malcolm X for different reasons, even if they are seemingly at different sides of the coin. But we have to, like, look at the actual side of the coin and, you know, just kind of look at it all as a big picture. And that's what I really like about the Black Lives Matter movement, especially, because this is a movement led by queer, transgender, Black women that are following in similar steps that the Black Panthers did with encouraging programming for people of color and kids of color with their different programs, kind of like the Black Panthers had their free lunch programs, and the FBI hated that, which is why they had destroyed them, and then they took the credit by creating the free lunch and reduced program currently in our schools. But even then, that tends to have a problem, because I remember a story, maybe it was about a year ago, where a Black child was arrested for quote-unquote stealing milk, even though they had just forgotten. And as a kid, it's really normal to forget things, especially at the lunch line, where you're just kind of like, maybe you're chatting with your friends and you get a little sidetracked, and then it's like, oops, I forgot my chips that I get with my meal or my milk or whatever. And it was really unfair. And it's just kind of, it's criminalizing that, you know, that they had to, like, arrest that child. And what's also important is that because these are trans queer women at the head of Black Lives Matter, it also brings that intersectionalism because, like, I've said this before on previous shows, that there is plenty of homophobia and transphobia within the people of color communities. And it's important to take that out because that's also part of white supremacy when the colonialism came to conquer the Americas, and then they write the story and talked about how evil we were, even though we were just having a grand old time loving each other and not killing each other the way the people came in and killed us with bio warfare and forcing us to convert or die, you know, comply or die. And that's why I like Black Lives Matter. And I always like to quote mostly Malcolm X because I just kind of feel him hard, because I don't want to be soft, even though I come off as soft. Most of the time, I'm just going to sink my claws into someone if they mess with me, because I don't want them to have a chance to stab me in the back. And, you know, one of my favorite quotes is, like, how can we, like, and I'm going to paraphrase this quote because I can't remember it accurately, but Malcolm X said something like, you know, how can we heal from, like, this racism when the racist hasn't even, like, admitted that the knife is still there? We can't heal until it's actually healing and not still in our back. They won't even admit the knife is still in our back, you know? And we can't let that problem persist. And that's why we definitely need to think about Black Lives Matter in relation to, like, within a week, we're going to have, like, the white supremacist stream coming up. So,
the white supremacist golden stream?
Yeah. Good one.
I totally agree with everything that you said. And something that I have to remind myself on a daily basis is that nothing is perfect and nothing will reach all people. I mean, I'm sure,
of course not,
even as hard as we try on Finding Me, we're not going to be all things for all people. And I think it's important to remember that movements are an artifact of their time. And later we'll be talking about Bayard Rustin and how he was largely forgotten in history because he was gay. And while that's unfortunate, we also have to remember, like, the time that he lived in and how it was much more difficult to be a gay man, and especially a gay man of color. And so it's frustrating, it's unjust, but it's also, we have to remember, that's a result of the time in which those people lived. And yes, the Women's March is very flawed, but it's also an artifact of the time we live in. We're still, honestly, 50 years after Martin Luther King, trying to figure out how to be intersectional with one another. And you have a bunch of people who, they just don't get it.
Mm-mm.
And I think that the next generation of people is going to have it a lot better than we have it now, in terms of being more intersectional, being more open to the experiences of other people. And I think it's because of the work that we, as sort of this fringe movement, we're laying this foundation. So while it's frustrating, and I totally get it, because I'm very much frustrated by how trans people are often marginalized, it's important to also remember to consider movements, to consider people within the time that they live, and always try to hold people accountable. But also, something that I always try to do is remember that most people, if they're trying, are probably not meaning to be exclusionary, or their intention is not to be, you know, jerks. And they just sometimes don't realize. And so I think it's important that we always stand up and we always hold people accountable and say, look, this isn't okay, but, you know, do it in a loving way, because the last thing you want to do is, like, claw the eyes out of someone that wants to help you. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, I get it. And, like, you know, it's important to examine when we're not being intersectional, because, you know, again, we can't have a revolution without being inclusive about it. We can't leave anybody out. We have to, like, take into account, like, here's the thing, like, I'm autistic, so I'm disabled. I am Mexican, but I'm white passing, so because I'm so pale, Otherwise, I might brown a little bit, but it's not all that much, even when I go to Mexico for a vacation, unfortunately. So I have a little bit of this white passing privilege, even though I'm Mexican, and generally speaking, people who are white definitely know who's white and who isn't, because they're always going to ask me, what are you? And I have to, like, you know, be like, why does it matter? What do you want to know? And they always like to guess Asian for some reason. It's just like, nope. I mean, I like a lot of Asian cultural stuff and their food, but that's not me. I don't know why you're trying to, like, peg me as anything. And, you know, I'm queer. You know, I like particular people if I can trust them well enough. And then I'm transgender. So I'm just a slew of things. And if you can't support a part of me, then you're not for me. You know what I mean? It's either, you know, 100% or it's nothing. And there's no in between. You know, you either accept me or you don't. Kind of like the audacity of some people where, like, you can separate the sin from the gay person or whatever, and it's just kind of like, nope, that's a gay person, no matter how you slice it.
I didn't, you know, when you were saying white passing, I didn't know that was a thing.
It is a thing, because often it's part of colorism, because, yeah. And that's the layer of racism that happens, where even within brown and black communities, there is colorism, where there's a better acceptance for lighter colored people of color versus darker colored people of color. And part of that is also part of colonialism, because a lot of the time when we were getting raped by our European conquerors and everything and settlers, it was encouraged that you try to cleanse the race and get rid of the scrub out the blackness or the brownness. And even in media, we find that some darker celebrities are whitewashed, or even the ones that are already pale start looking really white, and that's just unacceptable. And you see this especially in Asian countries, where they encourage bleaching and soaps that whiten the skin. And so that's why, like, when I take a bath or a shower, I will scrub with a sugar scrub rather than a soap, which could lighten my skin, because I want to love my skin color as it is, not because it's quote-unquote dirty to be brown. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess I'd never thought of that before. I mean, I knew about colorism, and there's some African actress who has been really outspoken against the skin bleaching.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I never really thought of the idea of white passing, where you look white.
Mm-hmm.
And so... that.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. That's why I bring it up, and that's why there's, like, so many complexities and layers even to racism itself, which is why it should definitely be stopped at all costs.
And while you bring up racism, I have to get on a soapbox for a minute.
Go ahead.
A white woman is about to come on a soapbox about people of color. I get so frustrated with my white friends who are, like, talking about how people of color can be racist against white people. It's impossible. It is impossible for people of color to be racist.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the white people are like, but they can be. No, they can be prejudiced,
mm-hmm.
but they can't be racist, because racism by definition is privilege plus
power.
Or prejudice plus power.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
So, if you're a person of color, you don't have power in society.
Mm-mm.
You don't. Even Mm-mm. if you're the president of the United States.
Right.
You still don't have the same power as a white person does.
Right.
So people of color cannot be racist by definition, because Mm-mm. they don't have the same cultural power. Not power in the sense of I can come to your house and shoot you with a gun. Power in the sense of you don't have to worry about being called an N-word. You don't have to worry about being shot by a police officer because of the color of your skin. Having power in the sense that you are not going to be treated differently at a bank or at a real estate office when you're buying a house, or at a car dealership when you're buying a car.
Mm-hmm.
So people of color cannot be racist. They can be prejudiced.
Mm-mm.
So, and all these white people are like, but isn't that what racism is? And it's like, oh my Jesus, sweet baby Jesus.
You cannot define it by Webster's. And, you know, it's silly to think that you can, because that just isn't how racism works.
Mm-mm.
Like, you know, even with like cultural appropriation, it gets dicey with that about whether or not people are being racist. And like, it annoys the, you know, it annoys the frick out of me when I have to like see white people donning Dia de los Muertos, like, you know, makeup, and they don't even know what it means. And then it's just like,
isn't that just Mexican Halloween?
Yeah. And she's like, no, it's not. Educate yourself. Stupid also, people. And then I get even annoyed when people, white people especially, tokenize their Mexican friends or their black friends as an excuse for their racism, or like, you know, whether or not it's okay for black people to say the N-word. And it's just kind of like, listen, white people, you create this word to dehumanize us. Why do you think they're taking it back? Because it's inappropriate for you to use anyway. You used it to dehumanize us. It's not the same as cracker. You know what I mean?
Which, that's an equally loaded... I mean, that... When you told me what that meant, I still have not... Did we talk about that on the show, or was that something we talked right. about in private?
It was definitely on the show at one point. But but it's so funny, because I remember when there was some new screen cap that I saw, and it made me laugh so hard, because, like, you know, what is worse to say? The N-word or cracker? You just figured that out yourself in that single sentence, because you won't even say the N-word. So obviously, it is not bad to say cracker. It's just alluding to the job of the white trash, so to speak, in society, just because they didn't get their slice of white privilege to work out for them. Right? And it's like, sorry, I didn't. I'm sorry that didn't turn out right for you. It's the same with, like, I just saw. It's actually, guys, if you haven't followed me already, follow me at Nemo Potatoes on Facebook, because I literally put a post about white gays and people that are white and gay. It's a very specific difference, where sometimes white people think they're being discriminated against because they're gay among brown or black queer communities. And it's just like, that's not how it works. You can't, you know, equalize these two forms of discriminations. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
Like, if I could just find the post and show y'all. Give me one moment. Or if Darcy can beat me to it, we'll find out.
I just got to your... I realized I hadn't liked your thing yet, so...
Why aren't you my fan, Darcy?
I didn't know. I've been busy.
It's okay. I know you're busy, girl.
I'm a very busy girl.
Mm-hmm.
It has been a very frustrating...
But, yeah, it's kind of... And, I pulled it up now, but, let's see if I can just get it to load enough to get to the post.
Oh, here it is. But is this the one, people need to realize that there's a difference between straight people and straight people trademark?
Yes.
Love it. Oh, can I read it?
Oh, please. By all means.
Straight person. Hey, you got a new haircut. Looks really good. Straight person trademark. No homo, but your haircut looks good on you, in case you were confused.
Right.
Love it.
Uh-huh. And then it goes on, right?
Yeah. So just like how there are white people who are gay, then there are the white gays.
Right.
White people who are gay. I'm gay! White gays. I can't believe I got a kiss of racism after calling that person a racial slur. I mean, I know what racism looks like, because I've been discriminated against for my sexuality. How's me being racist even possible? I'm gay.
Right? Exactly. So that's what I was trying to get at in terms of intersectionalism and how white supremacy works, and it's all interconnected. You can be a bunch of things. You can be either bigoted one way or bigoted two ways, or oppressed one way all at the same time. It's kind of a messy thing, but it's how it works. It's how supremacy works. It gets you one way or another. It's going to get you.
One way or another. I'm going to find you. I'm going to get you. One way or another.
Yeah.
This is fun. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. I like not being able to use music, because then we get to sing.
Yeah, we get to sing.
So let me see where we are, how much time we've been into this. Because, okay, so we...
I mean, just guesstimating, we are at, like, the 25-minute mark.
That's what I have.
Maybe 20 minutes-ish,
yeah.
Actually. So, because we had a bit of a slow start. But, I'll be editing the podcast and everything first. And so how about we go to our dance sequence and answer a few questions?
Let's do it. Do you enjoy finding me? Consider donating to KPPPLP to help us keep bringing you local queer color to your airwaves. KPPPLP is a low-power, non-commercial radio station funded by the generous gifts of our listeners. Your monthly gift of $5 or more will go a long way to help our wonderful team of volunteers, interns, and producers keep bringing you the high-quality local content you've come to expect from KPPPLP.
Your donation to KPPPLP can be made online at kppfm.com/donate. In the message line, simply enter Finding Me to make sure your gift goes toward our show's operating costs. You can also mail a check to KPPPLP, make check payable to the People's Press Project with KPPPLP FM Finding Me in the memo, and mail it to the People's Press Project, 1517 4th Avenue South, Moorhead, Minnesota 56560. All donations made will be sent a tax-deductible receipt and email updates of the progress of the project.
Would you like to make an even bigger impact with your gift? Please consider becoming an underwriter of Finding Me. For more information, go to kppfm.com/underwriting-opportunities. When we come back, we'll be continuing our discussion of the civil rights movement by looking at the life of a gay man who helped make Dr. King's legacy a possibility. Welcome back to KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead. You're listening to Finding Me on 88.1 FM, online at kppfm.com, on Shoutcast, and now on Facebook Live.
Mm-hmm.
On tonight's show, we're discussing the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm. In our second half hour, we will be talking about civil rights icon Bayard Rustin, a gay man of color who helped organize the key moments of the civil rights movement. So here is a video that I have layered in the Facebook live stream, and I will start playing that.
Bayard Rustin was one of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s closest advisors and a principal architect of the American civil rights movement for racial equality. So why have you probably never heard his name before? Because he was gay. To me, this Quaker-born pacifist, Bayard Rustin, is probably one of the most important Americans that many of us have never heard of, myself included, until just a few weeks ago, when I ran across his name and was like, why have I never heard of him before? No, seriously, I was doing a lot of this. And the more I learned about Bayard Rustin, the clearer it became that a civil rights hero was almost erased from history all because of homophobia. Who organized the first Freedom Ride in 1947 challenging segregation on interstate buses? Rustin. Who helped organize the Montgomery bus boycotts in 1956? Rustin. And around that same time, who introduced MLK Jr. to Gandhi's teachings of nonviolence? Rustin! In 1957, who helped Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. found the Southern Christian Leadership Conference? I'll give you one guess. It's Rustin! And who organized 1963's epic March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom, where 200,000 nonviolent black protesters saw Martin Luther King Jr. deliver his I Have a Dream speech on the Lincoln Memorial steps? Rustin! Duh! But it was also Bayard Rustin who was arrested and jailed for 6 months in 1953 on the charges of sexual perversion for allegedly having sex with another man. Because at the time, being gay was essentially illegal in the United States. It wouldn't be until 1962 that Illinois would become the first state to decriminalize sodomy and thus decriminalize being a gay man. It wouldn't be until 1973 that the psychiatric community would finally remove homosexuality from its handbook of mental disorders. And in the wake of that arrest, Rustin, who was openly out to his friends and family, including his grandmother, who he came out to when he was a teenager, and she was basically like, Bayard, you do you, it's fine. He wrote that, quote, sex must be sublimated if I am to live in this world longer. In other words, Rustin knew that he had to publicly closet his sexual orientation if he was also going to publicly fight for civil rights and racial equality. But that still wasn't enough for organizations like Fellowship for Reconciliation that ousted him after that 1953 arrest. And that also wasn't enough in 1960 when Rustin was forced to resign from the Southern Christian Leadership Conference after a black politician threatened to start a rumor that Rustin and MLK Jr. were having a gay affair together. Nor was it enough in 1963 when Roy Wilkins of the NAACP resisted Bayard Rustin's participation in organizing the March for Washington because he did not want to have to defend homosexuality and promiscuity. Ironically, it would be racist South Carolina Senator Strom Thurmond coming out on the Senate floor and decrying this Rustin, who's a draft-dodging communist gay man who was organizing this march, and shouldn't they stop it? And he also entered into congressional record fact a photo of Martin Luther King Jr. in the bathtub talking to Rustin as evidence of their possible homosexual affair. That finally, Rustin received some support from his fellow civil rights activists. And toward the end of his life in 1987, Bayard Rustin's activism reignited, only this time championing gay rights, his sexual orientation and sex no longer having to be sublimated. He adopted his long-term partner, Walter Nagel, because at that time, gay men, of course, couldn't get married, and adoption was the closest that they could come to being legally bound as family. An embodiment of intersectionality, Bayard Rustin once said that we need in every community a group of angelic troublemakers. And to that I would add, we also need to rewrite those troublemakers like Rustin back into history where they rightfully belong.
So that was Bayard Rustin, someone that probably none of us have ever heard of, but who was instrumental in something that has affected all of us and made it, really brought about a lot of the things that made the civil rights movement what it was. And a man who gave a lot and was forgotten because he was gay. And it's hard to watch that as a LGBT person. I can't imagine what it's like to watch it as an LGBT person of color. But it's hard to watch it because it's hard to realize or to reconcile the fact that these people that you respected who fought for the idea that a person should be judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin would not extend that dream to the, you know, the content of a person's heart. And so it's hard to deal with, but I think back to what I said earlier where we have to consider, you know,
I'm just waving.
Okay. We have to consider a movement within the context of its time, and that's not a very satisfying answer, but it is a reality. You know, in the 1960s and 1970s, it was hard, really hard to be a gay man. Still is hard to be a gay, not as hard. It's hard to be a gay man of color today in 2017. But yeah, it's still, I don't know, what are your thoughts, Nemo? It's just hard for me to kind of wrap my head around that we don't know who this person is.
Well, a lot of it is just kind of like, you know, looking at history, what was wiped away, what wasn't, you know? And you have to pay attention to things like how this guy was almost wiped from history, and we almost didn't know nothing about him. But thankfully, we do know. And honestly, I think with the more layers of oppression that you have, obviously it's going to be a little bit more difficult. Like, you know, I have my, like, just my high school story that I've told you before and that I've already told on this station has different layers to it. For example, when I was asking for an investigation of these students making letters and emails and stuff to the Westboro Baptist Church, and I wanted some help with that investigation and exposing these kids for doing that, and then I went to the news about it, then they questioned what I wanted. Like, okay, Nemo, you're an adult now, so what do you want to do? And it's just like, I literally brought my parents here because I'm autistic and I trust their judgment better than I do mine because I don't have experience in this. And it's at this time that my mother, Cindy, was already the editor to High Plains Reader, so she was already familiar with how media works and what helped to get the story out the best with the truth involved, you know what I mean? And so it was really difficult for me at different times in my life when people were asking what I thought. And she's like, again, I brought my parents here to tell you what I think. Because sometimes I'm going to have trouble communicating what I think, and they know me the best because one of them gave birth to me and the other one has just learned how I tick. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's just what I find rude, though, is when I'm questioned. Like, at MSUM, I had Professor Rebecca Gardner disregard my parents when I brought them in after I was trying to talk about the history of racism in America, and then she was telling me, no, I can't do that, and then, like, as soon as I brought them in, then she wouldn't even talk to my parents, and I found that rude, especially as a Mexican. So there was a bit of a racist layer. There was a bit of a layer of, like, my disability and whether or not and how she was taking advantage of me by trying to isolate me from my parents using that tactic of, like, well, Nima, what do you think? And she's like, stop.
Yeah.
So those are my thoughts. It's just that with the more layers of oppression that you got, the harder it is. But you have to keep trying, and that's why we definitely need allies with less some layers of oppression on them to help out, including the ones who are white and gay, or, you know, or white, gay, TM, and they need to learn. So, yeah, that's what I think. Hopefully that made sense to someone. Oftentimes I usually have to write out my thoughts before I say them, so...
It made sense to me, and...
Okay.
You know, it's a hard topic. It's hard for me, and I don't feel qualified to speak on it, because I am white.
That makes sense.
I've enjoyed the benefits of being white, the privileges of being white, I should say, and it's hard for me to wrap my head around, to be honest.
Of course.
That's not because I'm stupid, it's because it's incomprehensible, this idea of being judged based on the color of your... I mean, it is incomprehensible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something I'll ever understand. I can understand a little bit, I guess, what it feels like to be judged by the contents of your pants and rather than the contents of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the hardest thing for me as a human being, is knowing that my genitalia will always define who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Not to me, not to my close friends, but to the world, to my potential sexual partners, to, you know, my government.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard reality to have to live with.
Right.
You know, I just recently told someone that I loved them.
Mm-hmm.
That was hard for me to do because I've been rejected so many times. And unfortunately, this time was another one of those times. And it was hard. And the reality of it was, is my genitalia was the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Or my gender identity was the issue. And that's so frustrating to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love the person who's inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I desperately want, is for other people to love the person who's inside of me. And so I can, from that perspective, appreciate what it must have felt like for Rustin to completely lose his value as a human being because of who he loved.
Mm-hmm.
I can't understand it from an ethnic standpoint, but I can understand it from, you know, my own particular experiences. And
I think it's important, you know, because I agree with what you're saying. You know, even if you are a white woman, you know, you're not like trying to like say whether or not you've had it worse than he did at the time, but at least you identify. And I think that's what's really important, is that we empathize at all with each other, not that it's like worse than the other person or whatever. And it's like, no, we're all being oppressed and we're all fighting the same system, whether we know it or not.
And one thing I wanted to read this and I couldn't, had to quickly find it, but I really love this quote from him, from Bayard Rustin. He says, "When an individual is protesting society's refusal to acknowledge his dignity as a human being, his very act of protest confers dignity on him." I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I really do love that. And I think if anything, if we remember anything this week, as we face 4 years with the orange as our president, that we remember that when we protest society, when we protest Trump's refusal to acknowledge our dignity as human beings, our very act of protesting confers dignity on us. Dignity is something that is ours by right. It's not something that is given to us. And so I think as I will go into Friday heartbroken at the way the country is, that I will remember that in resisting, I have dignity. And I think those are just great words from him. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, his life wasn't a waste. And I doubt, I mean, I don't know him and I don't want to speak for him.
Right.
But I doubt that he regretted anything that he did because he didn't get recognition for it. Because when you're an activist, when you fight for a cause, you really give up the right to your own.
You kind of fight the system. And of course, the system like will lash back at you for, you know, defying it, and anyone else who takes it down, even white people. And that's why the system is really harmful, and it's important that we all fight it together. Yeah. You know, and not from the inside either, because let me tell you, you cannot take down the master's shed with the master's tools. You got to figure out what tools he's using, what he isn't, and destroy him with whatever you have. Okay? Because that's not how it's ever worked. I mean, look at politicians who've, you know, changed over the years. I used to like Cory Booker, for example, and then I've just, like, seen that he's voted in some kind of, like, ways that I disagree with. I mean, I'm not a constituent of his, but I'm just going to put my feelings out there and say I don't agree with it. And that's why, you know, you have to, like, go into the system to know it, know the beast, like I did when I went to college, and that was my experience. And now I know how the academic world works, and it's really messy, and it needs a lot of work. But it's also a place where it's possible to change, I suppose. I mean, if we have the right people to make the right influences. And I always made a point when in my college life where I told people, listen, college is messed up, okay? I came in here like a naive freshman that I was. I had all these hopes, these dreams. I went to the Rainbow Dragon Center. But within a year, I was shown that people are still racist, people are still homophobic, people are still transphobic, and it doesn't change at any age, you know, unless they actually have like a come to Jesus moment where they realize how messed up it is. So maybe I'm rambling a little bit, but like I said, you have to like destroy the oppressive monster, or at least at the very much survive and resist it.
And we will. Mm-hmm. One protest at a time, one live stream at a time, one Finding Me show at a time. We mm-hmm. will continue to fight, and we'll continue to resist.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we shouldn't allow other people to steal our identities. And I think that's what I'm taking away from this week.
All right. Okay. So here's the queer news that we've gathered. Saturday, January 21st, you can join the Women's March in Fargo from 10 a.m. to 2 noon. Marchers will meet at 10 a.m. on Saturday at the west parking lot of the Island Park swimming pool in downtown Fargo. They will walk north of the west side of Broadway to 7th Avenue North, cross Broadway, and walk back on the east side of Broadway to Island Park. So, dressed for the extremely cold weather, marchers are invited to Revlon Gallery 409 Broadway after the march to warm up with a hot beverage.
And I just wanted to note that on the event page they did talk about how the march was for everyone, no matter what your gender identity was, sexual orientation, ethnicity,
mm-hmm.
Religion, political stance. This is a time for everyone to march for whatever reason they need to. So mm-hmm. please join. I think it's going to be great. I'll be there. I don't know if Nemo's coming, but I'll be there for sure. And I'm going to wear a trans pride flag as a cape.
Good. Because honestly, I can't stand feminism if there's TERFs or if there's just white feminists in general. And because otherwise, it's not for me. So,
as a commitment to our listeners and to continue the work we've been doing on Finding Me, Nemo and I are in the process of looking for underwriters for our show. Underwriters allow us to stay on the air and deliver the same high-quality content every week on KPPP-LP.
We have a variety of underwriting opportunities available. While it is not technically advertisement, underwriting acknowledges your support. By becoming an underwriter through your donation, you will receive an on-air mentions that highlight your business or organization. Very similar to what you may often hear on public radio. What's even better, your donations are completely tax deductible. Unlike other forms of advertising, you can feel good knowing you have done something important for your community, so your community can feel good about supporting you.
On our next show, we'll be continuing our anti-queer legislation watch, and we'll be keeping an eye out for anti-LGBTQ+ legislation here in North Dakota and in Minnesota, as well as across the country. So tune in next week for more Finding Me. Tonight's show is written by Darcy Corbett and produced by Nemo Cicados. Finding Me is a project of KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead 88.1 FM.
KPPP is adding local color to your airwaves. We're broadcasting on Shoutcast, and you can find us on your radio dial at 88.1 FM here in the Fargo-Moorhead region. You can contact us at 701-566-0917, at @media_PPP, email Cindy at kpppfm.com, or Duke at kpppfm.com. Follow us on Facebook at 88.1 FM Fargo-Moorhead, the People's Press Project, or Mexi-Can.
Donations to Fargo-Moorhead's newest low-power commercial-free radio station can be made on our website at kpppfm.com.
Thanks for tuning in. See you next week, Wednesday at 5.